Ron, Ron, Ron Weasley. It's so good. It's so good. I sound like a crazy person if you've not seen it.
That's the opening of the episode.
I'm like, have you got a topic suggestion? I've got one. Why the fuck are we working in this industry?
I want to rant. This is what I want to rant about.
Yeah.
Can we rant, please?
Exactly.
Actually, no, it's pretty good timing because I was doing a bit of soul searching over the weekend.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Interesting. I love that you've sneakily pressed record already. Like, let's catch Alex in the middle of her breakdown.
I missed the breakdown, but if you could redo it, that'd be great.
A dramatized. It just won't be authentic, Dan. It's not just like, I'm all about being genuine. Don't worry, there will probably be another one at some point during this recording.
Oh, good.
So, tell me about your soul searching.
I don't know. It was like a bit weird because I was just sort of thinking, I'm thinking you've probably been thinking and stuff like, about like what to sort of do going forwards and stuff, because obviously I want to sort of keep doing 360 and VR stuff, but there's not a massive amount of client work from what I can see anyway. But then also I was thinking about, it's like, do I want to do that? Because I've been doing that for like the past 5 years or so.
Yeah.
And like when I first got into it, I thought, oh, this will be good because this will free me up some time to like work on my own stuff and work on stuff that I'm like passionate about.
Yeah.
And it was the complete opposite.
And then like years down the line, you're like, hang on a second.
Yeah. So what about all these projects that I wanted to on, like,
well, and that's it. Don't you find that as soon as you have that free pocket of time, you're so knackered and exhausted from all the client work.
Exactly.
And then it's like,
no, I don't want to pick up the camera.
Well, that's it. Because I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about, because every time I have like just a general chit-chat conversation with other people in this industry, I always probe them and I'm always like, are you, you know, like how much VR do you consume outside of like the context of work? You know, are you jumping in a headset to like play games or, you know, are you actually using VR outside of, you know, just pitching it and kind of looking at your own work back and you know, looking at things that people are recommending to you because of the context of our industry. And 99% of people don't. I don't. Like, I don't. I'm really looking forward to getting the Quest because I know that I will actually use it because I'm dying to like have Beat Saber just in my house. That will be the stress relief. But you know, I don't jump in the go regularly to kind of, you know, just watch content for pleasure. And what is that saying about where we're at in this kind of industry?
See, that's interesting because I actually do now.
That's interesting.
Like, I'm on it, like, you know, at least probably at a very minimum, like an hour and a half a day.
Really? And what kind of stuff are you kind of watching?
It varies. So I'll have a look around, see if there's anything new that I haven't seen. But this is the other thing as well, because there's not a lot of new stuff coming out, like from what I can find anyway. I find that I like, you know, if I do find something, I'll watch that. But then sometimes I'll just revisit stuff that I've already seen. Yeah. Or I'll play some like games and stuff. It's weird.
I quite like jumping in there and playing the odd kind of like game. I quite like the paint tool in the Go as well. You know, it's like a 2D shitty version of Tilt Brush. That's quite good.
But yeah, I was checking out that Amaze the other day as well.
Oh yeah, the 3D content.
Yeah, I was looking at that.
What did you think of that?
All of their stuff is all like premium from what I could see. I think there's only like a handful of like free to watch stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But their stuff is like very sort of centered on like interactive.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And like the free ones that I did watch, not that interactive.
Really?
You probably get like, I don't know, like one option like per se. Maybe two tops. You don't really get, there's not much interactivity. And then there's sometimes as well, no matter which one you press, it takes you to the same to the same thing anyway.
Oh.
So you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, that's interesting. So are they trying to...
No one is going to watch it twice.
Yeah.
And then I come along.
You're like, this is Bandersnatch all over again, right? Like, oh, hang on a second.
I come along. I'm looking for new content. This will be new if I watch it a second time and do something different.
Well, that's it's interesting because no way. Well, because I guess that's the appeal of interactive content, theoretically, right? You can play it over and over, and it's different every time. But how strange, though, that they're trying to are they trying to kind of promote themselves as an interactive platform? Then
that seems to be the case, yeah.
And yet, their free content isn't necessarily that interactive. Interesting.
No. And some of it isn't interactive at all. So they've got like some of the dark corner stuff.
Yeah, because what I heard about it was I just assumed it was just kind of linear 360 stuff because yeah, I know that Hugh from Creator Up has like some of his music videos on there and stuff.
Okay.
Which aren't interactive as far as I know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. They seem to sort of market themselves just basically on the interactive experiences and stuff, but then.
Well, and it's interesting, isn't it? Cuz I think we are so early on in the medium that you know, theoretically, yes, you should be getting people to pay for the premium content, but because it's so early on in the medium, nothing's really premium. Like, what we're considering premium is still pretty shit. So, in comparison to what you would think premium is, like, if you went onto Netflix and saw just like a load of like amateur, crappy, like, you know, YouTube style videos. Obviously, YouTube quality has gone up, but think of like, you know, the old school YouTube where it was just any crap. You'd be really annoyed. Mm. So it's interesting. Yeah. I feel like, though, we're at that point now where, and especially because the last kind of week or so, I've heard like of a couple of 360 kind of companies and a few friends that did work in 360 have kind of like moved out of the industry now and are not pessimistic, but they're definitely like, it's just, you know, it's just kind of unsustainable. It makes me think, obviously I've made a really sustainable career out of it for myself, but I'm like, is that enough to be sustainable? Like, you know, is it, I don't know, it is a little bit frustrating when you create something and it can't be the best that it can be because the technology is so new and because there's so many barriers. But then I don't know about you, but I never got into VR because I was like, oh, this is a really interesting, I was like, I loved the process of using the technology. Like, I'm in this industry because I like the technology and I believe in the technology. I'm not in it really because I'm like, you know, a lot of people I know are like, oh, it's just another way of telling a story. But I like, you know, first and foremost, I want to like tell something that's like authentic to the medium. I'm like, I'm just interested in how you can use this tech. And I believe that it will be the future. But at the same time, I know that realistically, you know, it's hard to have a career, have your feet in like two industries. You've kind of got to, the way I think about it anyway, is like you've kind of got a niche down. Like, I don't know whether you would be as, like, I definitely know some production companies that have tried to like add VR as a service and they're just not as successful because people don't want to go to them for VR because they're a production company. I go to them for the branded content and I'm going to go to a VR company for VR, which makes total sense. But I don't know. It does get to the point where, I don't know. Do you feel like that ever? Like a bit frustrated with where we are and how it's not kind of, the uptake hasn't been as kind of big as everyone was.
I do and I don't, but I think part of that is like my reluctance to sort of do client work again.
But then I
don't know, because I've only done one sort of bit of client work in terms of VR and I loved it, but I'm just sort of like comparing it to doing like countless corporate videos that was just got to a point where they just become soul destroying because you essentially just making the same thing over and over again. Chasing invoices. That did my head in. So the thought of like going back to like something like that, I don't know, it doesn't excite me. I've been doing it for like 5 years and I kind of thought I'd be like, I don't know, doing other stuff by now.
Yeah, what kind of stuff would you want to be doing?
I'd want to be doing like more narrative stuff and more like, you know, projects that I'm passionate about. I'm not passionate about, you know, someone else's marketing business.
Yeah.
Or like doing like a video course about how to do marketing. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to spend a whole day shooting that. Because, you know, I just want to rip my arm off and then just beat myself to death with it.
Although that passive income, though, that's the only thing, the benefit I think of switching to like doing, like if you are going to do corporate, then do something corporate where you can sell it over and over again. That's the big problem with...
This is what I'm thinking now. This is what I'd like to do. So I'd like to do more stuff that I'm interested in, but sort of in a way that I can, you know, sell it online and make, you know, passive income on it. But then obviously to make that sustainable, you're going to have to churn out a fair amount of content.
Yeah.
In this way, because you're going to need a lot out there, because you're only going to get a handful of sales, especially the 360 stuff at the moment.
But, yeah. What kind of, so are you thinking like narrative-based 360?
Yeah. So it's weird. Like, I don't, have you heard of a guy called Jim Cummings?
Yes. Yeah. He does Thunder
Road. Road. Yeah. I've just been watching that actually. It's very good.
Is it good?
Yeah. So like I follow him on Twitter and stuff, and obviously he's very, he puts a lot of inspirational
tweets out. He's really
passionate, isn't
he? Yeah.
But I logged into my Vimeo account for like the first time in ages.
Yeah.
And I was like having a look through some of my old stuff from back in the day. And this was like the stuff that I'd made like on weekends and stuff when I was still working like full time.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, I remember like just getting so excited like during the week about being able to work on these things at the weekend.
Yeah.
And then like if I watch it as well, like the way it's made, it just comes across that there was more passion in it than it does
yeah, that
like,
you
any
like
of my
excited
like my client work. It was just like, right, let's just, you know, these shots will do the job. It wasn't like, let's try and make this really special and stuff. It's just like, right, this will do the job. Let's just, you know, kind of get out of it. But then I started like watching loads of other people's like shorts and stuff on there. And then that kind of like just like inspired me to then just sort of go back over like through my old like notebook of ideas and stuff. And see sort of like what I could salvage from those. So that's pretty much been my whole weekend.
And is there any part of you, because obviously I'm assuming that these are all flat pieces, like
no, there's 360 pieces.
These are 360.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because yeah. That's the thing I've
particularly that started out as a flatty, but it's, I don't know, it's like, it wouldn't, if it was made in like a, as a flatty, it wouldn't really, I don't think it would like stand out as much. I think it would be quite interesting to tell it in like a 360 video and sort of like have that person view it as like a fly on the wall, if you will.
Yeah.
The way I was looking at it, is that the character would then occasionally address the viewer. But if it was done in like, sometimes like, you know, I'm probably like speaking for myself here, but I don't know, sometimes like, you know, when you're sitting around or something, does, and then you'll just like talk to yourself.
Yeah.
Not like, not a full blown conversation, but you'll just say some one sentence or ask
you'll
a question.
You'll say stuff out loud. Yeah.
And then you'll be like,
why have you done that, you plonker? Like,
But like do it in that way, but then as if like the viewer is that person that you're asking it to. Because it's different. I haven't seen anything like that before, and I think it'd just be quite interesting to
well I think that's it. I think there's so much interesting, that's the thing, and I think it takes having these kind of conversations to like reignite that passion sometimes, because sometimes you do feel like you're like alone on this little island, like no one to kind of like bounce these kind of ideas around with, especially because a lot of my friends still work in kind of flatty kind of world. But I've thought about so many variations of like using the fact that the audience is essentially the camera, and how many different ways you could play on that. Like I was thinking the other day, and if anyone, I realize that we're 23 minutes into this and we haven't even said hello to the people listening. So I mean,
I was just thinking that.
Jesus Christ, if you're listening to this episode and you haven't already, like, you know, got the noose ready, then we're about to take a motivational turn. This is what happens when we record on a late on a Sunday. I feel like maybe we should record an episode like first thing Monday morning. We've completely changed. We're like, I'm buzzing, I'm raring to go. Anyway,
fair, who's buzzing on a Monday morning? Maybe a Tuesday morning.
I've thought there's so many different ways. Like even I had this just this random idea of like, wouldn't it be so funny, or not necessarily, doesn't have to be funny, like comedy funny, but I think it would be really interesting if there was just a VR short where you put on the headset and then within the headset, the actor like runs towards you with another headset and they're like, quick, get it on. And then you're like, you know, goes over to the camera and then you're like in a new like location and someone again is running towards you with a different headset. And it just like the headset just keeps getting like, it's just like a different kind of headset each time, but you're going like further and further like into these different worlds. Until you get to the point where you're kind of like, you know, at the heart of like a matrix, and then like it's kind of very obvious, or something happens where it's like, yeah, you shouldn't be here. And they're like, get out. And then literally just works all the way back. And then at the end, you know, there's actually someone in the room with you and they take your actual headset off and it's all quite like freaky and it's all just a bit kind of like Matrix style, like, you know, Inception, how many layers deep do you go before you hit like, but I just thought that would be such like a simple thing to shoot. But I think it could be really effective, like playing with your sense of,
well, you know, you've put it out there in the universe now, so you have to make it.
Maybe what we should do is like one weekend. I mean, this kind of all plays into the fact that we really, really need to do this Rumblecore idea. But
the domain is ready.
Yes! I love that you purchased the domain. Is it, what is it, rumblecore.com?
Rumblecore.com.
Is there anything on there if I went on there?
No.
I just want to say, just in case, it's like, this has been bought. Oh, look, match WWE versus Redline Case Proline Us. That's what it says on Rumble.com.
I have no idea what that is.
Nope.
This is about it.
But yeah, well, maybe we should make a pact. Maybe we should get it in the diary to like meet up one weekend and just make something. Because I think that's it. It's having that accountability as well of someone else in it with you. Mm. Like, I don't know whether you watch the South by Southwest keynotes, but I always go back to that Mark Duplass one about indie filmmaking. Yes. And
I love that.
It's just so, there's no better way just to like refuel that kind of passion for filmmaking than watching that. But there is something to that, just kind of like getting your mates and just going out and just making something.
And that's the thing as well. Like when you think about it, it's like, you know, there's times where you think, oh, well, I can't think of anything that I can do, like, you know, just off the cuff, like that's a particularly good idea. But when you consider the first short that they made that got into Sundance was just about some guy trying to set an answering machine
message. Speakerphone. Yeah.
<You're> like, that's so simple. but that's the other thing as well. I think I would definitely advise like going onto Vimeo and just watching like Vimeo staff picks for like inspiration.
I love Vimeo staff. Do they do 360 on them now?
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
But I don't think they've got an app. I don't know how to watch them on a headset. I was going to tweet them. Because I was looking for an app the other day, and then I tried to do it in a browser, but it didn't work.
Oh,
so which is a bit weird. I don't know if I was just
that
using,
is really weird.
Just use a different browser, maybe. Maybe that'll work. I don't know.
Yeah, but you would think that they would have an app, like a bit like YouTube. Although to be fair, YouTube only just recently got an app, didn't they?
So this is true. But they've got like I think their 360 channel is called 360 Cinema, and it's got about like 250,000 followers on that one. So.
I mean, that's not bad, really, is it?
So
360 Cinema.
Yeah. But, I've been watching a ton of stuff on that over the weekend. And, you know, some of the stuff on there are just really simple ideas, but just really effective.
Yeah. Anything like stand out in particular?
Right. There was one in particular. I can't remember what it was called now, but it was a British film. It was only like about 5 minutes. I felt so strongly about it that I left a message on the video. That's how much I liked it.
That's how you know that it's like,
yeah. Oh, that's it.
It's hit you.
Okay, it was called The Weight by a guy called Jason McColgan. Yeah, it's just like a simple story about like two people talking at a bus stop whilst waiting for the bus.
Right.
But there's a twist at the end, which I did not see coming and absolutely floored me. And I loved it.
Really?
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. It's such a...
They both get hit by a bus.
if anything, it's kind of more heartbreaking than that.
Oh.
It's so good. So good.
I'm getting it up. I'm going to watch it after. But it's funny, isn't it? Because I think as well, there's an element of... getting a bit too bogged down in like the kind of echo chamber sometimes of the 360 industry. And is that film 360?
No, it's not, it's normal flat.
Because it's interesting, because just as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, that's so cool, I really want to watch that. Because when we made Key to Like, and still to this day, like, the reason we made that was because I was like, I've not seen like a character, just like a two-hander, that classic kind of like classic style indie short, which is about nothing but about everything all at the same time. One of those kind of just conversational ones. And so I was thinking, oh my God, it'd be really interesting if that was in 360 to see how they've done it. But it's not. But I will watch it still.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's good to watch these things just for like a little bit of inspiration. And then like, you know, there was another one I watched about. It was just two people trying to like unblock a toilet. But it's like, it's just something so like
simple. I love shorts that are like that.
But it was like, it was good and it was enjoyable. And I think it's kind of good to sort of watch these things for some sort of simple inspiration. And then you can have an idea.
Would you ever, do you feel kind of like married to the kind of the 360 medium, or would you dip back into the flat world?
This is a good question, because I think...
Thank you. I tried.
Bravo.
The first
Bravo,
one.
Alex. Thank Bravo, Alex. Bravo. You peaked.
Validation. Please give me validation.
that's a good question, because I think, like, when I first started, like, freelancing, there's a lot of, like, podcasts that said, oh, you know, niche down or niche, depending on where you're from.
Yeah. Rich is in the niches, man.
but I was like, oh, but I love a bit of everything, so I don't really want to do that. But then having, like, since sort of like, you know, focusing on 360, like, I've had like so much more opportunities than I ever did just working in traditional video. And just like met like a lot of just cool people as well. You included.
Yeah. No, I totally
you included,
agree.
Alex.
Thank you. I was fishing for that compliment. I wasn't going to, but you know, I'm glad that you said that.
But like even the other week, there's a guy. I don't know if you know Daniel from in Colombia. He has like a company called Free
so,
Go.
So specific.
Free Go Video or something.
Oh, I feel like I know. On Instagram. Yeah, I know that name.
And like, he messaged me on Instagram the other week, just saying, "Oh, I'm going to be over in London for a conference in, I think it's June, I think." And he's like, "Japan's going for a beer." And it's just like,
"Oh yes, I know who you're talking about." Yes, like,
you had me at beer.
Excellent. Oh, I want to come.
Yeah, come down.
definitely.
So yeah, but it's like things like that. It's really cool. Like, I didn't really get that, you know, just working with traditional video. And I think as well, like everyone else that works in like 360 and VR are like genuinely interested in what everyone else is working on. So I don't know. It's like not to say that the traditional video community is bad and stuff.
Oh no, there are a bunch of assholes on the whole.
Okay. That's a quote from Alex Rule there.
I think because it's such a big industry, and because it's a big industry, it's really competitive. Yeah. But I genuinely, like, that's the reason why I got into 360, because I was so sick of that world. Yeah. I was just, everyone's an asshole.
I think, yeah, like you, it's like, it's become so saturated now, and then like there's so much competition that, you know, you think, oh, my prices are fairly low as it is. But there's always going to be like 50 people that are doing it lower. So it's hard to compete. But not only that, but I've always been like someone that doesn't like following the crowd. Like I always like to do things completely different to what everyone else is doing. And I think like 360 is like another aspect to that for me. It's like there's not not as many people doing it. So that's another thing that kind of
it's that kind of do you want to be a big fish in a small pond or a small fish in a big pond? And actually I kind of realized a long time ago I really do not like working on big productions. I hate being, even if I'm directing it and theoretically I'm kind of, you know, the one controlling, kind of calling the shots, I still don't like it. I like to work in small teams where I can wear lots of hats and do lots of things, and it's just, you know, it's just much better vibe. Like I think, I don't know, I think people's personalities will lend itself to one or the other. Now, obviously, hopefully one day, you know, we'll be those big fishes, but in a bigger pond because VR will take off. But that's more from the point of view of, oh, it'd be nice to, you know, not have to worry, you know, where your next job's coming from.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or whether the medium's going to die out.
I don't think it will die out. I don't think it will either. It would just take a bit of time. But I think I'm at a point now where, you know, like you say, you know, you're sort of going from job to job and like wondering where the next sort of paycheck is coming from. I feel like I'm in a place now where I'd quite happily just do something else to bring some money in. My outgoings are fairly low anyway, so I've made a point of making sure that, you know, I don't have much to pay out for each month, so I can, you know, afford to sort of not need to bring as much in, so then I can focus on more creative things. But I think I'd quite happily, at this point, do something else like part-time that's unrelated, so then I have more enthusiasm to work on the stuff that I'm passionate about on the days that I'm not working.
Well, and also there's something to be said for, you know, I'm a big proponent of people kind of, you know, making their passion their career. And I really believe in that. But there is also something to be said for keeping the thing that you're passionate about is slightly sacred. Like I was doing, I was running a VR kind of pop-up the other month for this kind of like kids kind of festival. And it was really cool. The thing that I liked about it wasn't specifically VR. It was just VR was a part of the kind of, you know, the other things going on. And the guy that was like helping kind of facilitate, I was like chatting to him and he was like, oh, yeah, I'm a musician. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like, so, you know, like how's that? Because obviously that's an industry that's struggling. And he was like, oh, I don't do it. Like, I don't do it for money. Like, and he's actually chosen to keep music as just something that he does for joy. And he said, like, you know, he's had times in his career where he's been offered to go on like these huge kind of tours and, you know, play with these kind of big bands, and he's kind of turned it down because he doesn't want it to ever kind of cross over and be something that then becomes like this kind of contentious of like, oh, this is not something I'm just doing for joy now, I'm doing this because I feel like I have to, because, you know, once you're on that treadmill, it's hard to get off it. And I think you and I are probably both in the same position with that. You know, like we did a bit in 360, got noticed because we niched down and were known for doing it in 360. Then the work just kind of rolls in and keeps on coming and keeps on coming. And then it's kind of, it's hard. It's really hard to like put your foot down and say no. And that sounds like ridiculously privileged. Yeah. That's, you know, that's trying to get their first client, it might sound ridiculous, but actually, it's one of those things where it's actually kind of
it's funny because
having the ability to know.
Like, again, sort of go back to like the stuff that I've been watching on Vimeo. If like you then look at the other work that these people have done, you go on their websites, and all this stuff is like, you know, either shorts, maybe like features or other things, or like commercial work. But like, you could kind of get a sense that all of them kind of just stuck with just making shorts in their spare time. They never like then went off and did like, I don't know, like shot a wedding or something like just a thing. They never like, you know, they went never went off and done like, you know, local corporate videos and things like that. They just kind of kept at it, doing like, you know, telling the stories that they were passionate about until.
But or do they and knows. They just keep it separate?
Well, they you could know have what I mean,
like then, they just don't advertise then, it.
I think it's part of me. It's like it doesn't know how they did it, how they had the time.
Yeah. Like, how do you sustain that? Well, because the only reason I say that is because obviously that is very much what I've done with the Cats Not Peas websites. Like, I've intentionally like left all the corporate work off there because in my head I'm like, yeah, eventually, you know, I'm going to be self-sustaining purely with the artwork. And that just hasn't happened yet. You know, I would say, you know, I'm lucky enough to get kind of like commissioned to come in and consult and do bits and bobs that's like R&D and experimental and artsy stuff. But, you know, 90% of my work is still corporate work. But I think as soon as you kind of like brand yourself that way.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're kind of giving up, aren't you? You're giving up on the dream.
I don't know. It's frustrating, but I don't know. I think like the realization I've had this weekend is that I tend to look at things now on my like what I call my defometer, basically if I'm like on my deathbed in the future, would I regret like not doing something? And if the answer is yes, then I'll do it.
I love that.
And I think to just sort of focus all my attention on just working on, you know, just the stuff that I'm interested in, that I'm passionate about now, and just, I don't know, do something else to sort of bring money in. I don't know. It seems like the right way to go, because I think if I'm sort of chasing paycheck after paycheck again, like I was before, I think I'll just end up falling into the same trap again, where, you know, like we said earlier, like when it comes to working on, you know, something else that, you know, that I'm more interested in, by the time it comes around to shooting it, I'm like, oh, I can't be bothered to sort of pick up a camera and, you know, worry about this, that and the other and all that. I've been doing this all week.
That's it. I don't think I haven't picked up a VR camera, as in like a 180 or a 360 camera, to go out and shoot for fun in months. Probably the last time I did was when I was running around Europe with Ben Claremont and Peter from Little Planet B, when they were doing their kind of, you know, European meetups. I was kind of obviously, and that was only because that's what they do. Yeah. Like that's the thing that I really find really interesting about some of the people in this industry is they genuinely love it and they're actually doing it because they really enjoy it. Like watching Ben create some of his tiny planets is fascinating to me. Like he will spend, like I remember we were in, where were we? Might have been Brussels. Was it Brussels? It was somewhere in Belgium. We, it's the one where there's the statue of the little boy pissing.
Oh, yeah.
Manneke Pis. We were there and it was like, seriously, like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, right, I am so ready to go. Like, I'm so done for the day. And Ben's like, no. Like, we've got to get one more shot. Like, you know, I feel like I've got one more, like, tiny planet in me. And I'm like, oh, for God's sake, fine. And we go find this, like, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like this giant, like, not Colosseum, that's in Rome. Like columns, you know, like the kind of giant columns like that are like attached to a museum. We found that and it was obviously like dead, and there was like a police patrol car, which very obviously meant that you couldn't drive like onto the bit that essentially drove onto, and him and Peter just kind of got out and were just like just shooting after shooting, and this was for the low light video that they put that Ben put out, and we must have finished maybe 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and I just remember thinking, like, well, firstly I was thinking I am so tired, but secondly I was thinking, that's it, isn't it, when you've got that passion and when you actually really love what you're doing, there's nothing funner than just kind of doing it until all hours and forgetting kind of time. Like, that's what I kind of miss. And I think, again, part of that might be doing it with someone else and kind of having that contagious energy between
you. But that's what I used to do, like, before I started, like, doing this full time. There were times where I'd be like, I'd think of an idea and be like, right, come on, let's shoot it now. And then, you know, even straight after shooting, be like, right, I need to edit this now because I want to see how it's turned out and stuff like that. And then it'd be up to like silly hours in the morning. And like, that's the thing. And people that, you know, that a lot of people probably follow online and watch, they're probably people that are doing that as well. They're like, they're always constantly like shooting stuff.
And I think to a certain extent, I'm one of those people where I have real like bursts of energy and passion. Like, I'll go through stages of being people who follow me on Instagram will know this to be true. Like, I will go through fits of being like, you know, I'll post like 5 days in a row or something. And then I'll just disappear for like 2 weeks. And it's because not only because I'm just super busy, but when I have my downtime, I'm so drained and I'm so like uninspired that I just think the last thing I want to do is now post about anything and try and be kind of like value giving. And so, you know, I'm not one of these people that is like, oh, I'll only show when I'm in a good mood on Instagram, because I'm very much not. I will absolutely say how it is. But at the same time, it's just, I kind of find consistency to be quite difficult. Yeah. I don't know about you.
It's difficult. Like, I don't know. I think in terms of like posting on Instagram, sometimes I just think I don't really have anything worth posting. So I just won't post for the sake of posting. But like, I don't know, this week I've been sort of quite busy working on the that mental health project that I mentioned the other week. Which is kind of, and it sounds weird to say that, you know, I've enjoyed like working on it, not so much the research, because obviously there's only so much you can read about that, but you're like, oh, I need to take a break.
Have you talked about this on the podcast?
I mentioned it the other week, I think.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure that people knew what we were talking about.
At least I hope so. But
recap one sentence.
So I'm working with this guy I know at the moment who does a lot of raising awareness for mental health and male suicide. And I think he's in the process of like starting a charity, maybe. But he's...
Oh, wow.
So he's going to be, he's looking to do like workplace training and stuff like that. So we're at the moment sort of in the process of like looking to put together VR experiences and things like that to.
We did talk about this, because we were talking about the business model, and I was like, let me work out your business model for you.
So we're looking at like doing some stuff for the for these training days. That could be used, and then we're going to put together like a little film as well that's going to be like a little companion piece to this documentary that he's doing. So I've been doing a lot of research on that.
But it's very good.
But again, this is like, and this is, you know, I'm not getting like paid for this, because I reached out to him about it, so I was, you know, I knew he was doing this documentary, and I was like, you know, this could be, you know, really, you know, useful and quite a powerful piece to sort of go alongside it. And then he just got excited, and then this sort of ball started rolling. But it's just, I don't know, it's nice to work on something that I'm excited about and like passionate about. It hasn't got anything to do with like marketing or like a life coach. Because I've worked with a lot of life coaches. And that's not to knock, I've enjoyed
it. Although, to be fair, I feel like I could use a life coach in my life.
Over the years and stuff. But like, from a creative standpoint, I don't know, you kind of want to go off and do different things. You don't want to be working on the same kind of content all the time. You know, it's nice to sort of mix it up a bit. But no, this is like, this has been nice to actually work on something that, you know, I'm genuinely excited about. And then obviously other projects and stuff.
Are you looking for are you going to look for funding for that project, or are you just going to shoot it off your own back?
We're just going to shoot it off our own backs. I mean, he's going to put some funding towards it anyway. Cool. And yeah, I don't know. I think he did mention in terms of like money wise, I think I'll just get like he'll pay me like a royalty fee each time, like they're hired,
which is
yeah,
perfect.
So that's like
that's
a nice
ideal,
passive income then. And like yeah. he's you know pretty good at business. He built a successful like online men's magazine, which he sold.
Oh, cool.
To focus like purely on this, which is like a huge commitment.
Yeah.
So you know, just goes to show his dedication to the cause.
So
I don't know. It's yeah. this is a really morbid.
If anyone's listening to this, they're like, I came here for like 360 information and like how I can actually like, you know, basically industry information and kind of, you know, ways to make this a career. And instead you've been met with like two people who have been in the industry for a while, basically. Yeah. Well, I think the thing is, I think what's so exciting about this industry is I would put money on the fact that this industry is going to be huge. It's not going to be an overnight success, but you know, you only have to look for these use cases in healthcare, in training, and this is where it all starts. Lest we forget that, you know, when computers were first around, they were targeted at businesses, like because businesses were the only ones that could afford the infrastructure and the hardware to support such new technology. And that's where we are, you know, we are early on, and it's really hard. It's so hard sometimes to kind of keep on going when you are feeling a bit frustrated and a bit kind of, you know, unfulfilled. But then I think that's why these kind of real chats are kind of needed, because people out there, you know, you are not alone if you have these thoughts. I get challenged.
I think we joke about how depressing this sounds and stuff, but I'm sure there's like it's resonating with people.
Yeah, I mean, because it's interesting. if anyone's there, because the statistics app that we've got is telling us the truth now, so it will tell us if no one's listening.
The lies.
I mean, if you are listening, the episodes aren't normally like this. So if you found us for the first time, probably worth mentioning in the show notes. Like, maybe don't start with this one. But yeah, I think, I don't know. Yeah, I just think it's really good to have like these kind of open and honest chats, because it is hard. And I think it's, I see these kind of questions being asked a lot in the Facebook groups. And so that tells me that everyone is kind of feeling the same way.
Yeah.
What I'm interested in is I've only done one commercial 180 piece. I would be really interested to kind of delve deeper into the 180 world and kind of, you know, bask in that halfway house between, you know, you kind of get the benefits of the immersiveness because you can watch it in a headset and it's, you know, it's 3D and better resolution, but also you've got the benefits of like a much easier workflow. I wonder, you know, how much you lose by doing kind of things in 180, but I don't know. And maybe that's another thing to explore as well.
I don't know. I was watching some of the 180 stuff on Amaze, and I don't know. Like, don't get me wrong, the 3D looks good, but I don't feel as immersed because as soon as I like, you know, look over even the slightest bit, look, you know, I see the edge of the frame, and then I'm out.
Yeah, you kind of need it to be a good kind of like 250, don't you?
Yeah, it definitely needs to be a bit wider, because then I'm not as immersed. It's a weird one, but I don't know, I'm definitely more excited about working on my own stuff going forward, and I'm excited about Rumblecore.
Yes, we do genuinely need to. I can't remember whether I mentioned to you offline that I'd kind of mentioned it in a recent meeting of mine with the BFI.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they were like, they were saying that there might be some funding available, only a real small part, but to kind of help kickstart, you know, the first event, you know, would pay for, you know, just bits and bobs. Like, you know, we could kind of maybe partially fund people's travel, so we could have like a kind of middle ground. We could have like some snacks and some like beer and stuff. Like, did someone say beer? I'm there.
I said sold.
Yeah, I was like, oh, well,
we could put it down to a vote. People don't necessarily need the snacks. Just get more beer.
Just get all the beer, all of it. But yeah, so I genuinely think maybe we should set a date for it. Like, maybe we should have a look.
I was trying to think of like requirements of what we'd be looking out for in
and
like
each project
and stuff like that. Well, I can't divulge that information now.
Oh, okay.
Not on the podcast. Not until it's all set in stone, Alex.
Okay, that's fair.
Because they might change and people will be like, well, but hang on a minute, if you go back to episode whatever you said
and then you said there would be snacks and beer.
Yeah. See, look what you've done.
Yeah. Well, we should definitely chat offline. And if you are listening, no one's listening. But
I'll put up like a placeholder website. I'll do it this week.
Yeah, that would be great. I don't know what's involved in any of that, but yeah, if you just put something up,
I'll knock something together.
Amazing.
We'll knock up some details,
and then let's just do it. Let's just meet at one weekend, and we can all be like the idiots that have to act in it, because we're just let's just use it as an opportunity to just make stuff. And obviously, I know the idea would be that we kind of have it, and it's happening across kind of like the world, potentially people doing their own things. But even if it's just kind of, you know, initially just meeting up and just making something like Duplass style. Just to get going, because I think that'll be half the battle. Because once you've made one thing, you'll be like buzzing off it, and just kind of, you know, keep that momentum kind of going. And
absolutely,
yeah, we should both kind of commit to not doing corporate work for like 50% of our time or something crazy like that. we should just make that commitment, because I'm terrible. I will just do it unless there's something in the diary that tells me that I shouldn't be taking on more work. I will just take on whatever work comes my way, because I am a machine.
a terminator. I'll tell you what, this makes sense now. Let's just both go on benefits.
Yes!
And then we just spend our free time just like making
stuff. Get the taxpayer to pay us to work out this goddamn medium. I am so here for it.
That seems legit.
I am so here. Well, you know what, though? What we could do... The problem with all the funding available in the UK is it's always tied to like projects. Like, even the Arts Council development grants, you still have to kind of tie it to a specific idea with specific kind of outputs. But I think there's something in maybe just kind of like just trying to get just like a little bit of funding behind us, so that we could literally just be like, right, cool, we can both cover our asses, and by asses I mean roof over our heads and a bit of food. Although, you know, I'm not opposed to like that pasta and pesto lifestyle. I did it at uni, I can do it again. I'm not fancy. And just kind of committing to doing like some artsy stuff for a while. I mean, you know, that's kind of what I've decided I want to do for kind of midway through May, as I've kind of once I finish this big project that just will never end, but that's for another episode. I've kind of said like I want to just kind of commit to just reevaluating and doing some kind of passion projects, and you know, take some time. So we should maybe get some dates in the diary for kind of mid end of May,
because that's the thing, is like, you know, obviously, you know, how long ago was Key to Like now?
Oh my god, yeah, we filmed that in December 2016. I can't tell whether your signal's cut out or you're just dramatically pausing.
I know you was going a bit robot voice, and then I went with a dramatic pause.
That was such a dramatic pause.
You had extra emphasis to it.
Yeah, just like, but no, it's, and that's, I mean, I've done other kind of original pieces since then, but I've just not put it out because I'm just not happy with them. And they're not kind of authentically me, kind of, because there are always things that I'm kind of doing because I've got a little bit of funding from, you know, a research body or something like that. So I'm kind of, I am using it to do original work, but it's not my, you know, it's not like narrative character driven, which is what I'm really interested in. But yeah, nearly 3 years since we filmed Cute Like. So it's, you know, been 3 years since I wrote it, definitely. So, well, I wrote it in 2015, so even longer. But yeah, what about you? When was the last time you did like an original kind of passion-y type project?
Oh, I mean, literally, I mean, it wasn't a, it wasn't a 360 one, I'd say. Not the, like the main one.
Yeah.
I did like a short a couple of years ago, which then came out last year. And it's like, it's not great to be honest.
All artists, but
it's funny because I'm like my own biggest critic.
Yeah,
and stuff. I watch my stuff and I'll be like, "This is shit." Like,
what were you thinking?
Who the hell would want to watch this? Yeah. This is awful. But then, like, you know, having said that, it played at a film festival in Nigeria. Weirdly enough,
that's so cool.
Just before Christmas, so the Nigerians liked it.
That's so cool.
And it's in the final round to possibly play at a festival in Vegas.
That's really well. Someone reached out recently to me to ask if they could play Kida Like at a festival that's going to be put on by the European Union in the Mauritius, and I was like, yeah, and I'll also have a ticket, please.
Yeah,
thank you.
But that's the thing. That's what I like about it. It's like you don't really get that response to the sort of things you do when it's like corporate stuff. As much. No. I mean, especially me with that, the number of marketing videos and stuff. Nobody's like, oh, nobody's in Vegas who's contacting me saying, oh, yeah, can we play your film, your corporate film?
Yeah.
But this is what I like about it. It's like, you know, when you're sort of working on your own stuff, even if you look back at it and think, oh, you know, oh, it's not great and stuff, everything's subjective.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be an audience for it. And it turns out they're in Nigeria.
That's amazing. That's so good.
Well, that's so crazy. They invited me to go as well. It was in Lagos.
Oh, you should have.
I spoke to someone about it and they were like, Lagos is really dangerous for tourists.
Oh, no.
And you can't actually just like turn up. You have to be invited.
Wow.
And that's why I invited it. Like a fucking vampire. You have to be invited in.
Well, I mean, we white British people are like vampires, so
exactly.
Wow.
So I was kind of like scared off by
Do you know, I had this is a bit of a flashback if anyone's listening to an episode where we were talking, I can't remember I think we talked about this on air, but when you were telling us about the job where you flew out to, was it Malaysia that you were doing the tourist video for?
Oh, Indonesia.
Indonesia, that's the one.
Oh, yeah, when I was right about again, human traffic.
Yeah, human traffic. Yeah. And I had a conversation with someone recently, and they were talking about something about traveling somewhere and how we were talking about how like weirdly Norwich in the UK is apparently like a hotbed for trafficking. I was like, Norwich?
Really?
Yeah, apparently Norwich, that's where all the illegal shit's happening. And then that's we were talking crazy. About trafficking, and she was saying about watching a program or hearing about something about someone getting trafficked, and the way it was, you know, they were like, oh yeah, we've got this job for you out in the Philippines, and then they made it sound real legit, they sent her real paperwork, and then when she got out there, she was kind of like, you know, she picked up in a car and it was all dodgy, and before she knew it, she was kind of like getting passed between these people, and she was being trafficked, and all of a sudden in my head I was like, oh my god, Dan was definitely almost trafficked. Jesus!
Would have been a hell of a twist though if she'd got out there, she was being like passed around all these different people, and then suddenly she found herself directed a free
tourist
for the Philippines. She's like, oh, this is not what I was expecting.
So good. So good.
Oh, that was the most terrifying 40 minutes of my life.
Yeah, I can imagine. But it really kind of hit home. Like, I mean, do you know, I've never really thought about that stuff when I've travelled before. But
do your research, kids.
Yeah, it's like, Anyway, that's a lovely story to end on. But I feel like this really, really morbid, depressing episode can go out into the world now. But the uplifting note was that we've just got to keep soldiering on, because without us pushing this industry forward and making stuff, it ain't going to go nowhere. It ain't going to, we ain't going to push the medium forward if we're all just doing corporate bullshit. Let's put it that
indeed.
Way.
Indeed. Indeed. And Rumblecore will help with this.
Yes. Rumblecore.
We'll be VR Duplasses in well, no time.
Do you know what I was thinking when I rewatched the Duplass speech recently? Because similar to you, I think there must be something in
it's got to be on everybody's playlist.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
It's like key watching.
If you're listening to this and like, what the hell is that? Well, firstly, get the fuck out. Secondly, okay,
I'll link it in the show notes.
Yeah, not really, but yeah, link it in the show notes. But if you go on YouTube and you just search South by, well, SXSW, Mark Duplass keynote, and it's just the best thing that you'll ever listen to if you're a filmmaker and just need that passion and that fire lighting under your ass. But yeah, let's keep that fire going, peeps. Let's just rock on and rumble call.
Rumble call.
Rumble. I feel like if I could roll my R's, it would be even more badass. Like, I can't though, so I'm not gonna try. Can you roll your R's? Oh yeah.
Rumble call.
It does sound like you're saying Dumbledore though, doesn't it?
It does a little bit. I was wondering that when I bought the domain. I was like, is this? But I feel like we've already mentioned it numerous times. It's out there now. We can't change it.
Well, I told the BFI the name, and they were very excited about it. So I was like, to be fair,
did they get it?
Well, I did.
Or did you have to explain it?
I did have to go Vrumblecore, and they were like, ah, and I was like Mumblecore, but VR, like Vrumblecore, and they were like, oh, that's really clever. I was like, I'm not sure it's that clever if you have to explain it, but fuck it. It's what we're working with.
Maybe if you'd have rolled your ass, maybe they would have got it first
it
time.
Rumblecore. Ron Weasley.
Like operatic. Yeah. Rumblecore.
Oh my God, we should make when Rumblecore is like a real thing and we're advertising it to the world, we should make the you know, that parody Harry Potter thing where it's like all the different puppets and it's all like Harry Potter, Harry Potter. What?
I think I missed it.
I demand it. This is like my lawnmower man to you.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is a bit rich.
I'm going to have to find out what it's called because you're going to have to watch it. Okay, it's called Potter Puppet Pals, The Mysterious Ticking Noise. And it's basically like all these different puppets. I mean, don't get me wrong, contrary to most people's belief about English people, we're not all obsessed with Harry Potter. I've only watched the first film and it was when I was a kid. I'm not a massive Potterhead fan. But this, which is sacrilege to some people, I hope I've not just offended you, Dan, if you are.
No.
But this video was like, it went super viral during those early years of like Harry Potter coming out. And it's basically just like these finger puppets of all the different characters. And they're all just like, it's just like a weird choir thing. And it's like, I can't really explain it. You just kind of, I feel like no one's actually going to go and like listen to it. So I feel like I need to just play an extract. So
go for it.
Can you hear that?
Is it Harry Potter Puppet Pals?
Yeah. Can you hear it? Can you hear it, or is it? Oh, it's just
found it though. Mysterious ticking noise. 186 million views.
It was huge. Jeez. It was so good. But anyway, basically, the Dumbledore. That's kind of what I'm going for there with Rumblecore. Ron Weasley. It's so good. It's so good. I sound like a crazy person if you've not seen it. But
that's the opening of the episode.
And then like this is the most positive the episode is, so maybe it should start with this bit and then it just all goes downhill.
Just build them up and then just knock them down.
Yeah. Slam cut to like me having a breakdown as you press record.
Oh god.
Anyway, thank you all note, for then. Listening.
Yes. Where can people find you, Alex?
You can find me on all of the socials at Alex Makes VR.
Awesome. And if anybody is interested, I'm at Daniel K. Hatton, as always.
And please don't rate or review us on this episode.
Yeah.
Do you actually have any reviews? How do you like see if you've got reviews?
I don't know. I don't have iTunes.
Oh, me
neither. I should download iTunes. Probably because I'm on a PC. I don't really use it. I should download iTunes and have a look.
Is that where we would see it if it was on there?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Should probably pay more attention to stuff. I don't know. I just kind of enjoy just recording them.
I just like just doing it. Yeah. Fuck just it. We're not in it. Shit. Yeah, we're not in it. This is actually just our therapy for each other.
yeah, pretty much. Although it is nice when people get in touch to, you know, like David. Shout out to David.
Yes. Hey, David.
I know he likes to get in touch whenever a new episode is out.
Yes.
Thank you, David. It's really appreciated.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for
glad
being
you enjoy
our
it. I hope you enjoy this one as well.
Yeah. Please let us know. We should put a hotline out there for Samaritans or something at the end of this one.
But it'd be good if like people could let us know if they, you know, having the same thoughts and stuff that we've discussed today.
Yeah.
And like the same frustrations. I think it is kind of like a universal thing.
Yeah.
From the sounds of it. And we can magically fix it with Rumblecore. Rumblecore!
Ron! Weasley!
Right. And we're out.